Good morning, everyone. If you have a Bible, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Before we get started, I'd like to say to you that talked to Travis several times, and Travis is our normal preacher, so we have some visitors over here, and I'd like to thank y'all for being here also, but he's gone to Honduras, and it's been very fruitful this time for his work there. They've went several times, preached several times, been to the city mall. They had a baptism in the city mall one day. Woman was in a wheelchair, and they was trying to figure out how they could make it happen. They went and bought a blow-up swimming pool, went and hauled water into the pool in there, and got her baptized in the mall. I think they have 11 baptisms so far, and they're still working today, preaching and teaching the good news. So very thankful for that, to have more brothers and sisters in Christ that are able to join us in fellowship with our Lord and Savior, to be like-minded as we are. Today, we are going to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. And there's a difference in just saying, I have faith, than being in the faith, and we'll get into that. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. He says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. So we're going to take a test today. I encourage you, if you don't have one, back in the foyer, there is a sheet for you, and you can get this when you leave. If you don't have one, you can walk back there and grab one, and it'll guide you through what we're going through and help us to get through this together. So we have to examine ourselves. If you want to know what faith is, we look at Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 1. He says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, when we're speaking of the faith, we are going to be in the book of Jude. The faith is the content of the doctrine, which is the gospel, or the good news of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. There are four books of the gospel. They are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when you read the four books of the Gospels, you will see Jesus' life. You will see how Jesus came into the world, and how Jesus left the world, and how Jesus came back, and how he's gone, and he tells us he will come back again someday for us forever. You'll see when the church began, and you'll see how important it is to stay in the faith. So you ask yourself before we begin, am I in the faith? The faith is also a specific belief of God's word being truthful. So not only understanding that God does have word, but understanding it to be truth. Jude verse 3 and verse 4. Dear friends, Jude is a brother to Jesus, by the way, and they really didn't follow Jesus much when he was alive, but after he died, him and James both have books in Scripture for us to read and understand that he loves us. Jude 3 and 4. Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Isn't that terrible to think that there's people that want to deny Jesus, what he did for us, dying on the cross, the forgiveness of our sins? It's not denying us. It's denying Jesus of that. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the truth and the life. Jude was right when he said we must stand for Jesus so that his dying on the cross wasn't done for nothing. Jesus died for a reason. He died for a purpose. Jesus came to earth and lived as a human. Mark chapter 1 in verse 1. The beginning of the gospel. Mark chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who was he? He was the Son of God, correct? Verse 14 in chapter 1. After John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. What news was it? The good news. The beginning of the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The good news is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, coming into the world. The good news is Jesus being born, living as a man, the Son of God, and dying on the cross for all mankind, to take our sins upon himself and to die in our place, only to rise again after 3 days. The good news teaches us how Jesus lived for God and how he died for God, and how we are to live for God and die to our old self for God, and to live a new life with Jesus. Turn over to Acts. Acts chapter 6 in verse 7. Acts chapter 6 in verse 7. This is where Stephen was chosen. And he was a great speaker. He was a young man, a gospel man. And he ended up dying to a man that we will talk about a little later. But here in chapter 6, in verse 7, it says, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. One of these men were Stephen, which later on he was stoned for preaching the gospel, preaching the good news. And he died. He died for our Lord and Savior. He lived his life for him, and he died for him. And he was willing to do that because he knows that there's something better for him. So we can understand right here in Acts chapter 7 that believing God's word and following it is what we're supposed to do. The word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. A large number of these priests became obedient to the faith. Not faith, but the faith. John 17 and 17, Jesus tells us himself, while he is praying for his disciples before his death, that God's word is the truth, and that what is written came from God. You can also find 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful in correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we need to know the scripture. We need to know what the scripture says, because it is God-breathed. So we know that it comes from God, not from man. So here we are again. We are supposed to examine ourselves. And to examine ourselves, we have to look at the faith and see what the faith is. We've read in Jude chapter 3, and we understand that it's the content of the doctrine. We understand from John chapter 14 in verse 6 that it's the truth. We understand from Mark 1:1 and Mark 1:15 that it's the gospel. And from Acts 6:7 that it's a specific belief of God's word. And we understand from John 17:17 that God's word is the truth. So, we are to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. There are six steps to test yourself. Matthew chapter 1 is where we'll begin in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 in verse 18. Do you believe Jesus is God's Son? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? In verse 18 in chapter 1 of Matthew, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Go to chapter 3 in verse 16. Jesus is grown up now. He has just become baptized by John the Baptist. And in verse 16, he says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Whose son is he? God's son. God said, this is my son. Jesus was the one that was baptized, wasn't he? He said, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse 16. Matthew 16 and verse 16. Or we'll go to verse 15. Jesus asked, but what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Talking to his disciples. And Simon, Peter, answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus' reply was, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus Christ asked Simon Peter, who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response was, blessed are you, because no man revealed this to you, but it came from my Father in heaven, which is God. Turn over with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 1. John 17 and verse 1, Jesus is praying for himself before his crucifixion. Now you think about Jesus praying to for himself before his crucifixion, how terrified and how he knew what was fixing to happen to him. He knew what was going to take place. He knew how brutal it was going to be. And he goes to God in prayer. And in 17 and 1, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed, Father, what did he call him? Father, the time has come. He said, glorify your son. So he said, God, glorify me, your son, Jesus, that your son may glorify you. He says, glorify me so I can glorify you. Who is it? Jesus. Jesus is God's Son. God is Jesus' Father. We'll read the whole deal. He says, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus praying before his death, talking to his Father, he said, glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. Knowing that, do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? In John chapter 10 and verse 36, Jesus said, why do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's Son? And he's talking to the Jews that are mad because he said, I am God's Son. And they said, no mortal man living on earth can be God's Son. They called it blasphemy. And Jesus' response to them was, why do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said, I am God's Son. Who said it? Jesus said it. I am God's Son. John 14:11, Jesus said, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. I, being the Son, and the Father is in me. Meaning they are one. God placed His Son into the world to save sinners, according to John chapter 3, verse 17. And His Son being Jesus Christ. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or 7 scriptures there that shows us that Jesus Christ is God's Son. The next question that we have is, have you repented? Luke chapter 13 in verse 3 says, unless you repent, you will all perish. Unless you repent, you will all perish. Luke 5 in verse 32, Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What did he call them for? Repentance. And in verse 3 and 13, he said, unless you do what? Repent, you will all perish. Matthew 4 and verse 17, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Mark 1:15, we read a while ago. I think we read it. Jesus said, repent and believe the good news. What news was it? The good news. You're supposed to repent and believe the good news. Matthew, go back to Matthew right quick, to chapter 7 and verse 21. I've read this many of times. I've read it to the children. I've read it over time, getting down to verse 24. And we utilize it in song in the classrooms for our smaller children. And we're going to utilize it today for our lives. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What must we do? We must repent of our sins. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. We cannot live our lives that way. I want you to think about this. If you haven't repented, if you haven't believed in God so far as we've went through this, are you building your house in the sand? or are you building your house on a rock? A strong, steady foundation where you know that it's true and you know it's going to stand and withstand anything that comes its way. So we ask ourselves, first of all, do you believe Jesus is God's Son? Second of all, have you repented? Third, have you confessed that Jesus is God's Son? Have you confessed that Jesus is God's Son? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Whoever, Jesus is talking here, he says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. We understand that we must confess before men that Jesus is God's Son. What does that mean? So I just got to walk out on the street and find somebody and confess that Jesus is God's Son? Needs to be some more people involved? So it means you stand up for Jesus and you be proud to say that in front of a crowd, in front of anyone, that Jesus is God's Son. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 is our next scripture. If you turn over with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. We confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. 1 John is our next scripture. 1 John 1 and 9. 1 John 1 and 9. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So you look at this, and to understand this, the easiest way I can say is by confessing before men that Jesus is God's Son and believing in your heart that he died and was buried and raised from the dead, you are confessing that you are a sinner by doing this. You're able to confess that you have sin in your life by standing up and confessing that Jesus Christ is God's Son, because by doing that, you are willing to repent. You are willing to say, I'm done with this life. I want something better. And I know what's better for me. So by confessing before men that Jesus is God's Son and believing in your heart that he died and was buried and raised from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe Jesus is God's Son? Have you repented? And have you confessed that Jesus is God's Son before men? Next off, have you been baptized into Christ? Have you been baptized into Christ? In Acts chapter 8, in verse 37, there was a eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was heading back to Egypt. And an angel of the Lord said to Philip in verse 26, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out on his way and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury. The eunuch was reading God's word. The Spirit told Philip to go to that chariot and stay near it. Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And Philip had asked him, and the eunuch said, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. In Acts chapter 8, verse 37, after they read the gospel, after they read the good news of Jesus, they was reading in Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, they prophesied Jesus coming and his dying and the sacrifice that he was going to make. And after reading it, he said in verse 37, he gave orders to stop the chariot. Or he said, as they traveled along the road and they came to some water, the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. See, the Lord is with us, and He guides us in directions that we may not know we're going sometimes. He takes us places, and He helps guide those who need to be guided. So we ask ourselves, have you been baptized into Christ? The eunuch understood that he needed to be baptized into Christ. Baptized means to be immersed in water. Immersed fully in water, not sprinkled by water. He said, "Look, there is water," and he went and was baptized. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 is our next scripture that we'll read. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Well, we'll start with 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that the grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, Colossians chapter 2, in verses 9 through 12, Colossians 2, chapter 9. "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead." That means you died to your old self. You was buried, and you risen again, a new life, a new person, a child of God. Romans 6, 3 and 4 tells us that, and Colossians 2, 9 through 12 tells us that through baptism, immersing in water, when we go down into the water, it is like we're being buried. It is like we went into that tomb and was sealed up. And then by coming back up out of it, we was resurrected a different person, a new creature. And we no longer live our lives for that sin no more. We live our lives for Christ, who died for us. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So when you were baptized, were you baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? That's what Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness or remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That means Jesus Christ will be a part of you, is what that means. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul is recalling the day that he became a member of the church. He was told by Ananias, "What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on His name, calling on Jesus." He said, "Get up, be baptized, washing your sins away." See, that going in the water, that doesn't just, you're not using soap and water and cleansing yourself. You're cleansing yourself by being born anew, by going down your old self, dying to that old self and coming back up anew. Go back with me to Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. If we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Remission of sin means we do not have sin in us anymore. We now have to live pure lives, wholesome lives for God through who? Jesus Christ. The next thing we have is, are you a member of the Church of Christ? Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am, Peter?" Peter said, "You are the Son. You are Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said, "Blessed are you because you did not receive this from man, but it was revealed to you from God." Peter's name was Simon. And it says Simon before it's got Peter there in parentheses beside it. Jesus changed his name when he found him to be a fisherman. And he said, "I'm going to change your name to Peter." And we wonder, why does names change? Peter means rock. And Jesus says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Not your church, Peter, but my church. Who's speaking? That is Jesus. Whose church is it? Jesus's. Jesus is saying to Peter here, "I'm no longer going to be here. I'm leaving, and I'm going to leave my Father's plan to you to distribute out to everyone. I'm entrusting you to tell God's word to the world that they need to repent and be baptized in His name." We just read what He did in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins in Jesus Christ's name." Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 tells us to keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, to be shepherds of the church of God. Is God and Jesus one? If God and Jesus are one, then whose church is it? Romans chapter 16 and verse 16 says, "All the churches of Christ send greetings." All the churches of Christ send greetings. What churches are they? Who do they, the church belong to? Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 22. "God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way." So God placed Jesus under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything, the church, which is Jesus Christ's body. Now, if you are a member of Jesus Christ's body, then you are a member of the church. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 is another good one. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. As members of how many bodies? One body, you were called to peace. So let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called. And then go back to Galatians chapter 3 in verse 26 and 27. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We are told that we have to test ourselves to see if we are in the faith. If we are in the doctrine, are we living in the doctrine that we was given? Are we living for the gospel? Are we living a specific belief of God's word? Are we living our life in the truth? Do you believe Jesus is God's Son? Have you repented? Have you confessed that Jesus is God's Son? Have you been baptized into Christ? And were you baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? And are you a member of the church? To finish up, we need to make sure that we all understand that Jesus is the head of the church. He is the body of the church. And if you have followed steps 1 through 5 and you no longer live your life for you or for the world, but for God through Christ, then you can say with confidence that you are a member of the church, which is Christ. If so, and you've followed this and you've been living your life that, and you passed the test, we must contend for the faith, as Jude said. He said, because the world is corrupt and it's trying to deny Jesus, just as it is in today's time. Just as Jude wrote about those thousands of years ago, how people were corrupt and was trying to change the word, the world is corrupt in today's time and it is trying to change yours and my minds about our faith in our Lord and Savior, about the faith, about the gospel, about the truth. We can no longer stand for that. So, therefore, brothers and sisters, we must stand firm in the word, living lives free from sin, remembering the washing away of our sins, the day we was baptized into Christ, and how we no longer live in sin, but we're going to live our lives for Christ through His life. So if you have doubt about the test that you took, if sin reigns over you and you want to be cleansed, make the commitment and call on His name by believing Jesus is God's Son, by repenting of your sins, by confessing that Jesus is God's Son, by becoming baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Today, we have an invitation song that Thurman has chosen for us. If this is you, come clothe yourself with Christ. As a member of His church, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.